Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to thee Brady Quinn.
Jonas, it's been a fun show so far. I got to tell you, though, I am struggling, okay? As you talked about in the first hour, it is my mother-in-law's birthday today.
Yeah.
However, we celebrated with a big Italian dinner last night, and I am hurting. I don't know when the last time you was, but you were in that position. But I don't think I need to eat for like 3 days.
It's
like,
too much,
at that point,
man.
I feel like I've got a bowling ball in my stomach.
It's too much. It's the bread. It's the carbs. It's overload.
Chicken parm. That's what it is. It's the copious amounts of chicken parm.
You ate way too much of that. I just want you to know.
I eat too much of pretty much everything.
Yeah. No. It's the chicken parm. It's literally every single time your wife asks you what you want for dinner, your go-to is always chicken parm, which is fantastic.
It's a great dish.
It is. It's the best, in my opinion, the best Italian dish, chicken parm. I mean, if we're going to go top Italian dishes, I would go chicken parm above all else. To be honest,
I would too. I mean, hence the reason why someone asked me what my favorite Super Bowl meal was. And I was like, well, if I could have anything, I mean, I'd sit down and watch the game and have chicken parm. They're like, what do you mean, man? That's not like a Super Bowl, you know, meal or Super, like wings or. And I was like, no, man. Like, if I could have my druthers, I would sit down with a big old knife and fork and eat a big smattering of chicken parm and watch the Super Bowl. That would be nirvana for me. But
did anybody make chicken parm wings, like boneless wings or chicken? Huh. Like, there's got to be somebody out there that makes it. Hey, Roberto, you're a chef. Why don't you get on that, man? Like, come on. Like, you could really corner the market on that, Roberto, if you get on the chicken parm buffalo wings.
You know, add a little sauce on top.
Yeah.
And then throw on some mozzarella.
I do
bring
my own wings, by the way. Yeah.
And Roberto, he makes his own wings. Have a chicken parm wings, Roberto. What about those?
Do you kill the chickens? Is that what you do,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got a chicken thing in my backyard.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A chicken thing
too.
In my backyard.
Jonas would know about that.
Yeah, well, listen, let me tell you something, man.
I grew up where he did.
Yeah. Brady doesn't know that life, Roberto.
Yeah, he doesn't live in the hood like I do.
Yeah, Brady doesn't know that life, man.
I don't know that rural life coming from Ohio. Yeah, I have no idea what that's about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you don't get it, man. You grew up on the beach, man, not like Roberto and I.
Exactly.
Having to make
the beaches of Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, damn right. Boneless Parmesan chicken parm wings seems like something somebody should do. And let me tell you something. They probably already do. It's not like we're inventing anything here on Sports Talk Radio. So let's just be truthful about it on a Monday morning. Brady Quinn, there's a real problem that's about to take place for one Kyler Murray. Now, there's a couple of parts of this conversation we could have. We can get into how things are going to go for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals if they end up not doing what they are expected to do, which is take a next step in year three of the Kyler Murray experience. And then we can also have the conversation about Kyler Murray, who felt the need to take a battle axe to the entire Dallas Cowboy organization. According to the blogging the boys Twitter account, he grew up in Texas and he was asked whether or not he was a Dallas Cowboy fan growing up. And he said no, because, quote, they were always ass. All right. End quote. That from Kyler Murray. Again, that is not me making these comments. That he's going to have to deal with not only the Dallas Cowboy fan base, but Skip Bayless, who I know Skip and Shannon will do good work on this coming up later on Fox Sports 1. But he's got a point. I mean, you know, it's been a long, long time since the Dallas Cowboys have been a legitimately good team. I think we pointed it out since the Super Bowl, their last Super Bowl in 1996. And some would argue that, you know, they can thank Neil O'Donnell and some of those passes in that Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But since that Super Bowl in 96, they've got four playoff wins. So for Kyler Murray and people of his age group, when were they good? When was this a legitimate team? Yet they're talked about in such glowing terms still to this day as being America's team. I'm on the side of Kyler Murray here. I think it's a totally fair thing to say based on what the Dallas Cowboys have given us the past couple of decades.
I'm counting it up right now. I think they've, they've had a number of winning seasons. They've been probably, 500 since the start of the new millennium as far as winning seasons. But to your point, they haven't sniffed the NFC Championship game. And they've been marred by either bad luck or disappointment. And it seems like it's been overhyped more than anything else. So I think it's kind of a reality check for the Dallas Cowboys. But the truth of the matter is, this year could be the year that changes things. I mean, offensively, they're stacked. Defensively, they're looking or hoping to improve with Dan Quinn now brought in as their defensive coordinator after the one-year experiment with Mike Nolan didn't work. They were god-awful. So Mike McCarthy makes the change, brings in Dan Quinn, who obviously had a lot of success during his time in Seattle, helping the Seahawks to go to back-to-back Super Bowls with that Legion of Boom. But the problem is, I'm not sure the personnel is quite there in Dallas to get them to that point. But Kyler Murray's not wrong. I don't know that I'd describe it in that way, but he's also a little more than a decade younger than I am. So I think this is an example of a reality check for where the Dallas Cowboys are at, their fan base is at. And by the way, this ties to the University of Texas. There's a lot of talent that leaves the state of Texas to go elsewhere to play football.
100%.
Or at least not going to Austin. And reason being is it just doesn't have the same feel for it anymore. I'm not saying the Dallas Cowboys are venturing into that as far as free agencies and players saying, I don't want to go there because they're just not successful. I don't want to have to deal with Jerry Jones. Because by and large, people look at what he did for Dak. They look at how they take care of some of the other players too with their contracts and renewing them. And I think they look at them quite fondly. And plus, it's the Dallas Cowboys. So, players have another opinion, but I do think the fan base always has high expectations, as they should. It's the Dallas Cowboys, but he's not wrong. I mean, they have had a long drought without much legitimate success outside of, again, being able to have some success in the regular season in a division that, let's just say, hasn't really been all that great.
Yeah, well, it's the comp I look at is Miami Hurricanes. So, the Miami Hurricanes when we grew up, man, those were some of the great teams of all time. Miami Hurricane team in the early 2000s that was just loaded. I think Ken Dorsey was the quarterback, but they were loaded with McGahee and Frank Gore was there and Jeremy Shockey and go up and down the lineup, and they were just stacked all the way through. Antrell Roll, I think, was on that team too. We grew up and Miami football was a big deal. The Miami Hurricanes were the team. Well, there's a generation of people who don't know that Miami team. They look at it and they go, okay, cool, you hired Manny Diaz. And Manny Diaz kind of burned Temple. But again, we're not here to bring up the past. Not here to bring up that he ditched Temple after accepting the job or anything like that. I don't want to go there. We're not trying to do that. But there's a whole generation of people and kids that are coming up that are like, dude, I've only know mediocre football from the Dallas Cowboys or from the Miami Hurricanes. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like USC. Like we all think of USC in the early 2000s. Man, those great USC teams. When's the last time USC was good? Like when's the last time like USC was legitimately good? Yet they're talked about constantly as, oh man, the USC. It's like, how many? Like, you just let a homeless guy field punts. Like, how many years needs to go by before you realize, in the words of Rick Pitino, they're not walking through that door. It's a new time. There are new powerhouses in football. And the Dallas Cowboys, and I credit Jerry Jones, they continue to be at the forefront of the conversation, and they've been mediocre at best the last 15 to 20 years.
Well, I think the hard thing is for any fan base is, and especially for us, because we kind of look back and we can look back and see more of the history of some of these teams. But we are an all or nothing society. It's either a championship or it's not.
Damn right.
But the problem is there are times when you look at teams that have gotten close. Like, for example, the betting favorite, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, but the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl this year is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And the reason being is Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, obviously. A lot of respect for those guys, although there's one player who didn't enjoy his time in Kansas City. We'll get to that later on. But the reality is they look at those two, they see their track record of success, and they go, we expect them to win the AFC. We expect them to be, you know, potentially winning the Super Bowl or maybe have the best chances. There's just not that expectation with the Cowboys because they haven't even been close. Like, that was the thing about the Chiefs even building into what they've done with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Is when Alex Smith was there with Andy Reid, they were close. They just weren't quite there to get over the edge. And I think that's the frustration for, I don't care whether you're talking about USC, who's at times had some good seasons in the Pac-12. You know, they've been able to win the Pac-12 or be competitive in the Pac-12. But as far as the national stage, compared to what like Reggie and Matt were doing back then, it's been nowhere close. Nowhere close. You know, I mean, they haven't even been in the college football playoff. So, you know, with expansion now, that gives affords them an opportunity. I would think right now more than ever, by the way, not to get off on a tangent, but because you brought them up and with college football playoff expanding to 12 teams, potentially even this year, if not next year, is there will be more coaches at prominent programs getting fired quicker. Because if you can't be a part of one of those six at-large bids, and that's not... Yeah. You know, conference champions, right? The Power Five conference champions, or, you know, a group of five obviously isn't viewed in the same light. But if you can't be in one of those six at-large bids, or, you know, if you're not winning your conference championship, you're out. So there's going to be more pressure. That's what I wonder about this season for the Dallas Cowboys. And I feel like we're obviously pivoting away from what Kyler said, and we'll get to him later on and what the season means for him and the Cardinals. But the truth of the matter is, if Mike McCarthy has a ho-hum season, let's say, for example, they go 9-8 or 8-9. Remember, there's no more 500, right? Yeah. We've got 17 games. So you're either losing or you're winning. I do wonder how he's going to be perceived. I do wonder what Jerry Jones is going to say after the season, because you know he likes to talk. You know throughout the course of the year, the radio shows, he likes to chime in and talk. And I do wonder what the conversation or narrative is going to be if we don't see improvement from what was a 6-10 team, yes, without Dak Prescott. But I think people started to look at Mike McCarthy and go, all right, if this happens 2 years in a row, though, maybe it was Aaron Rodgers. You know, maybe it was the Hall of Fame quarterbacks he worked with during his time there that allowed him to have that success. It's going to be interesting to see, depending on what happens this year, how Jerry Jones views Mike McCarthy and really how the fan base views Mike McCarthy.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He absolutely lied to you, and he got your hopes up as a fan base. We will tell you who we're talking about here coming up 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so Brady Quinn, by the way, the reviews are rolling in right now. The WD-40 as a scent conversation is a real one, and there are many people that are agreeing with me that WD-40 is a legitimate scent. A guy writes in and says, WD-40 drives the girls here in Nebraska crazy. So I don't know if that
literally, where like it's not a good thing. I'm not saying it's not a scent. I just think there's a reason why WD-40 has been around forever, and it hasn't been made into a cologne. Okay, yeah. So if you want to take on that venture, all right, we'll just say his name's Ned in Nebraska. Yes. Yeah. If Ned in Nebraska wants to take on that venture, so be it, man. But I don't think that's going to work out too well for you in the end. But it is a scent. There's a distinct scent with WD-40.
A better scent, especially here in Southern California. $6 a gallon gas. You know, you get that gas on you after you gas your vehicle up.
Gas,
it does smell rich, right?
Oh, the ladies love the smell of gas right now.
Yeah, that is Danny Gas, who is with the aroma. I'm telling you, I've always thought gas smells good. And here's the other thing. A pack of cigarettes that's not lit smells good. Like, I don't know if there's something about just the tobacco scent of the cigarette smells good. I've never smoked a cigarette.
Yeah, that's like saying dip smells good, which it does. I think dip smells good.
Yeah, some dip smells good. A cigar smoke, I think, is the worst smell in the world. Like, I don't know how people can sit around and breathe all that in and take that in. I think it's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I disagree. I actually like the smell of a cigar. I like to smoke cigars. But, I'm not necessarily sure about the whole packet of cigarettes. That's an odd one.
Just like when you open a pack of cigarettes and you smell the inside of it. My dad smoked for a while, and then I remember just like
so you were sniffing his cigarettes.
Yeah, it just smelled good. I've never smoked anything. Like, never smoked weed, never smoked cigarettes, never smoked a cigar. I've smoked nothing. But there are certain scents that do smell good. Now, to Ned's point,
so you've never smoked meat is what you're saying either.
No, I don't know how to. Yeah, my brother does. He does a great job. You've had his ribs. He does a phenomenal
job.
Did
I? Oh, I think I did the one time. Yeah.
Yeah, he came in studio and literally.
Which, by the way, you they snorted. Were delicious, yeah. But the worst time to probably eat ribs is on live radio.
Yeah, it's not that great.
I mean,
it's
you can't touch anything afterwards. Yeah. And you got stuff in your teeth.
Yeah, it's
I
not
felt
great.
Bad forever to use the mic after me, but those were delicious.
Yeah, it's not great. But I think on the Nebraska front, I could see that. Like, you know, there are certain things that pair well together. WD-40 and a Corey Schlesinger jersey before you hit the bars. I mean, that to me smells like you're going home happy. You know what I mean? Like, just like just put that on, douse yourself in it, and then hit the bars like that. I mean, that just feels like it's a win-win for everybody involved. You know, to be honest.
Are we still talking about WD-40 as a
cologne? I'm just saying. All right, never mind. All right, so let's be broadcast professionals here and pay off the tees. The Phoenix Suns are rolling. You remember when they were down 2-1 to the Lakers? And I'm not trying to call anybody out here, but you had a bunch of blowhard Laker fans whose names rhyme
with... I do recall that.
Yeah, whose names rhyme with Loberto and Fanny D on the show. And they were talking up a big game about the Lakers.
How are the Celtics doing?
And the Phoenix, who knows? I don't care. I'm not a Celtics fan.
Yeah, we're talking about the Suns here. Hey,
yeah, listen.
You care to comment on the Suns right now with another sweep?
This would be a great time to advertise the podcast. You could go back and listen to where we had a full conversation about how deep the Suns were, and we detailed the Lakers' issues with their depth on the bench. So, if that's being blowhard or what do you call it, ball
deep,
washing.
You basically just mean campaign? Because outside of campaign, are they really that deep off of the bench? Like, let's be real about it for a second.
Well, I don't know. According to people on Twitter, campaign was decapitated last night by Nikola Jokic. So
yeah, that was
By the way, I love the reaction to people who, because Reggie Miller at first didn't think that Jokic struck him by any means, and then he thought he might have broke his nose. He went from like one extreme to the other, and people were freaking out on Twitter reacting
like
to
got,
it.
Oh, Twitter! He stubbed his toe, amputated.
Oh man, NBA Twitter was like, NBA, this is your MVP.
Crazy. Yeah,
I think the reaction it was interesting. There was more players who came out in defense of Jokic for like kicking him out.
It's a hard foul.
Yeah, it's a hard foul. It should be a flagrant foul if you want to call it anything. To eject him though, and there's more players coming out in his defense than as far as supporting him for winning the MVP.
Did you guys,
that gave you any indication of the league right now.
By the way, did you guys see how Devin Booker learned real quick? Yeah, maybe I don't want to.
Yeah, Jokic was like, what are you going to do? What
are you going to do?
I will break you.
He looked down at him, and just his expression never changed. He looked like Shigurov, No Country for Old Men. Like, I was just waiting for him to pull out the cow gun and go to work. But yeah, he was not in a happy mood. But listen, man. The Suns are rolling right now, and I don't know if you believe in momentum. There are some people that do and some people that don't. I choose, depending on the day, whether or not I want to believe in it, if we need content or anything. But if you believe in momentum and you believe in a team having confidence, they knock off the defending champs. They've won, six straight games now?
Yeah.
This series wasn't close, man. This was not close. And I know Jamal Murray and the injuries there, and then you got Mike Malone saying that his team quit, which probably didn't make matters any better for him. I mean, whoever comes out of that Utah Clippers series, they got a problem, man, because Phoenix is good. I think their
plan is the best team in the NBA playoffs right now.
Obviously, with
the Nets injury issues they're dealing with. Can I admit something, though? I didn't fully appreciate Chris Paul until the playoffs this year. Like, I'm going to admit
that. Because he's always injured.
Well, he's injured often, but even then, you know, in looking at his game, I was like, you know, what does he do extraordinarily well that, you know, in comparison to other players at his position or around the league? And I just, I fully didn't appreciate a lot of the intangibles that he brings. I know he's a great leader. He plays good defense. You know, he obviously is good with the basketball. Doesn't turn it over relatively a lot. Is good, obviously, with his court vision and all that. I never found him to be the best shooter. I never found him to be the great, best scorer. And even because of his size, I always felt like he's a good defender, but he can easily be a mismatch because of his height. And if he gets put down in the low post, it's done for, right? I've never fully appreciated him until this year.
It's kind of a throwback point guard, right?
Yeah, you could call it that. I mean, he's taken over. Like, the difference in the last series versus the Lakers to me was Chris Paul. Like, you go back and watch the last couple of games, it was Chris Paul. Booker's been pretty consistent with the exception of maybe the first game or two in the Lakers series. And he's still been putting up points, and he's kind of been doing that all year. Paul, to me, is the one that has really impressed, and I'm like, all right, I get it. You know, when people are on that bandwagon, like, he is really taken over since the end of the Lakers series and then into this series. And I get the feeling, man, like, this is his year. And I kind of want that for him, too, because he's got a sterling reputation, at least in regards to how the players feel about him, you know, whether it's the Suns or even just in general, given his leadership within their union. So I hope this is the year for him, man. I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, upon further review, maybe that shoulder injury wasn't as bad as maybe he led on to believe or led on to be.
Look, it wasn't as bad as some other people. It wasn't like he was rolling around on the ground acting like his arm fell off. I think there were some other people that might have fallen in that category, right?
I mean, he was crying at the foul line. I mean, like, he had
tears in
his eyes.
I think there was some sweat in his eyes. I don't know that he was crying. I think there was a little bit of sweat in his eyes.
I mean, like, it's just like he made it seem like this was it. Like, he was going to turn into...
You could relate. I mean, you've banged your shoulder on, like, a microphone in the studio before or something, right?
But you know what? But I worked through it. All right, you didn't see me crying during a segment. It's just like, he made it seem like he was the guy on The Fugitive who didn't have an arm that Harrison Ford was after. Like, like, what are we doing?
He's got a
prosthetic arm now. It's like, dude, it was a shoulder injury. I mean, like, come on.
Boy,
like,
prosthetics have come a long way since that movie.
Yeah, they have.
How about this, though? Let's play a quick Q&A here. What is the equivalent, okay, in the radio business to Chris Paul's shoulder injury? Is that like you falling out of your chair? Is that you hitting your head into the mic or something, or tripping on a cord and falling? What is the equivalent in the radio business to Chris Paul's shoulder injury?
The equivalent to that is when your throat gets dry and you're trying to finish your thought. You know you don't have much time left, but you've got nothing else to give. You're just going to go ahead and cough, and you can't reach the cough button in time. So you clear your throat, and it sounds like a car backfiring. But again, I just work through that stuff, right? I'm not Chris Paul.
It sounds like a car backfire.
Yeah, it does. I'm able to work through that stuff.
Which could sound almost like a gunshot.
Yes.
But I guess that's the equivalent.
Yeah,
good
that
call.
Is. Listen, that is the equivalent.
I always think of Uncle Buck in John Candy's car in that movie.
Oh, man.
I think of backfiring.
By the way, one of the great actors of all time, that John Candy. I love John Candy. Great name. All right. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, an NFL All-Pro lied to you. We will share that lie here. You will hear the lie on national radio. It's next. But for all the latest, Eddie Garcia.
By the way, I have tried to put the headphones on too quickly and then, like, had it slip out of my hand and, like, one of the earpieces, like, whacked me right in the eye.
Really?
Yeah, that happened before.
Good thing you don't use your eyes for radio,
gotta,
you know?
Gotta be careful with that.
Yeah, Brady, you don't think we're athletes? Come on now.
Did you put on the injury report for Scott Shapiro?
No, I fought through it, Brady. I fought through it.
And also, you don't know the amount of damage Eddie went through trying to get. What was that item you were trying to get out of the vending machine that got stuck? Was it the Cheez-Its? You were trying to get something out of the vending machine.
Let's be honest. That happens every week here. Ask Roberto and Danny. Somebody's jamming their shoulder into that thing trying to.
It's a hand-me-down vending machine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eddie. Coming up here in 12 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio, there was some interesting comments from an NFL player regarding a coach, a very well-liked coach. We will have those for you here coming up 12 minutes from now on FSR. All right, Brady Quinn, Travis Kelce, I think probably going to be a Hall of Famer, if I do say so myself, especially the trajectory here. He lied. I mean, I'm just going to call it what it is. He lied. This comes courtesy of the Jarvis Landry celebrity softball game over the weekend, where Travis Kelce had this to say about the Cleveland Browns.
I would say they're definitely a contender, without a doubt. I mean, it's definitely there. Baker and the gang have upped the ante, made this team an unbelievable team and a team you have to prepare for and take serious. You know, I think that moving forward, without a doubt, I can see a lot more playoff games between us. And, you know, I'll just take it one day at a time and hope for it. But I think that the Browns and Chiefs are definitely neck and neck for sure.
So if I had a buddy who was an alcoholic, and he called me up one day and he said, "Hey, man, guess what?" I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I went to lunch today and I only had a Diet Coke." I'd be like, "Cool. What about the previous 3 weeks in a row that you were on a bender?" Like, I get it. The Browns have had one good year. Are we just going to forget about what was happening those years before? All of a sudden, they're a Super Bowl contender. Travis Kelce just lied to America here, Brady. He lied to America, and he made up a story that the Cleveland Browns are Super Bowl contenders. They're not close to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't want to hear otherwise. I'm tired of this.
Let me just pull back the curtains, okay? Let me pull back the curtains for a second and take you behind the scenes of how it works when you go to some of these celebrity softball games or wherever else you're going to support another player or support a specific cause. Here's your mindset, okay? You're obviously going in there to dominate, right? And depending on whether you're single, married, what have you, there might be some other priorities too that are in play. But here's the thing about Travis Kelce. He's very heady, very self-aware. He understands his surroundings. And so what do you do if you happen to go to a charity softball game, for example, maybe back in Ohio, your old stomping grounds, Westlake, Ohio, for example, or Cleveland Heights High School, where Travis Kelce attended? That's obviously in close proximity to Cleveland. Some would say it is Cleveland. So given all those facts, I think you'd be pretty aware of who you're talking to, your surroundings. Of course you're going to be complimentary. Of course you're going to say, "Yeah, we had a tough playoff game versus them last year. You know, if things would have went a little bit different, maybe the Browns would have won. If maybe Chad Henne doesn't complete a 5-yard pass, you know, backup quarterback on fourth down at midfield, yeah, maybe things would have went a little bit different." But they didn't. And to put a team that, and look, I'm rooting for the Browns more so than anyone else, okay? Probably more so than Travis Kelce, by the way, because he might actually have to play them. So as much as he wants to be complimentary now and say, "Oh, we're neck and neck," you're not. The Chiefs, as we talked about earlier in today's show, they've been to back-to-back Super Bowls. They've won one, probably with a healthier offensive line, maybe a different outcome this past year's. And if not for a coin flip that they lose to the New England Patriots, are you telling me that the Patriots defense was going to stop Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead?
God, no.
3 years ago?
No, God, no.
No. They're going to score a touchdown on that drive. They're going to a Super Bowl. That would have been three in a row. All Chiefs fans know right now with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback is at worst, their floor is an AFC championship game. That's all they know. If not winning a Super Bowl, or at least going to a Super Bowl. So Travis Kelce trying to put the Browns, who, yes, they had a great year last year, I think they could equate to that same success this year, but it's a lot more of an if. Like, if you asked me, do I think the Browns are going to be a 10 or 11 win team, like 11 wins, you know, like they had what last year? If you're asking me that versus, you know, what if they're going to take a step back, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be hard to replicate what they did last year.
I agree.
Unless their defense takes a big step. That could be the difference.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Le'Veon Bell took to social media this weekend and made a comment about Andy Reid, in which he said, "I'll never play for Andy Reid again. I'd retire first." Now, since then, he's gone to Twitter and apologized, said he should have, you know, probably something he should have kept quiet about or kept to myself, but that he has a right to feel how he wants to feel. And this to me was surprising, just based on the fact that everything we've heard about it, or that I've heard about Andy Reid, and of course you would know more than me, is that players coach, the players love him. You know, he never airs out a player publicly. He's always the first to accept responsibility. Like this is the go-to quote for Andy Reid. Yeah, that's my job. I got to do a better job at that. That's my responsibility. He never will air out a player, never goes that route. So when you see Le'Veon Bell make those comments, you got players that are sticking up for Andy Reid. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, basically said, you know, be accountable for your responsibility and all this. But is this a common conversation about Andy Reid? Because I've never heard this before.
I'm sure there's a player or two that maybe didn't like Andy Reid or didn't enjoy it. You know, he's coached for a long time. He's coached a lot of players. There might have even been some players who, you know, initially maybe didn't like him during his time playing for him, went somewhere else, and maybe appreciated him after the fact. But the truth of the matter is, I don't really recall any saying it publicly. So this would be one of the rare occasions of one of the bigger names in the NFL. But the reality is, I think for Le'Veon Bell, as he's getting to that point in his career where he's looking at what he did with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you know, there's a formula for all this with players. You know, no different than DeAndre Hopkins, who was upset about what he was traded for, then even upset about what Julio Jones was traded for. You know, when you get closer to that age of 30, people just kind of say, you know, we don't know when an injury is going to happen, but we know this. We've got a lot of data. We've seen a lot of great players come through this league. Once you get around the age of 30, especially as a skill player, your skills start to diminish. Injuries start to become more frequent. You're less valued. And I think that was the hard part for Le'Veon going to the Chiefs, is they've got such a star-studded cast, so many talented players. I think he thought he was going to be one of the guys in the mix.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, you've got a first-round pick they end up drafting last year, and B, some other guys who'd be pitching in that didn't have half the career that he's had thus far. But the reality check for him is he's now getting closer to 30 if he's not already almost there. And he's got a lot of wear, you know, on him at this point. So it's going to be tough to see him be able to recreate what he was able to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because now looking back on it, I kind of sit there and say, maybe that offensive line was a lot better than we gave him credit. You know, maybe it was, you know, a little easier to run against box counts that were more favorable, because everyone is anticipating Ben Roethlisberger throwing the football around with a talented cast of wide receivers they had. So this has more to do with, and as he kind of admitted, of a lot of the personal things I think he's dealing with as a player. When you get to a certain age and you're not as coveted as you once were, that's what he's dealing with right now. Unfortunately, he happens to air it out on social media and direct it towards Andy Reid, a guy who might be one of the more lovable characters in the NFL.
See, but I thought it was Adam Gase's fault that Le'Veon Bell didn't work with the Jets. I thought that was Adam Gase's fault. What happened to that?
I'm not so sure that, you know, Adam Gase was on board for that signing in the first place, right? When they decided to give a running back $28 million to be there for 2 years, right?
Yeah, that was a Mike Maccagnan parting gift for the organization, right? Mike Maccagnan's like, hey, what about this one? And then he just walked away after they let him go. Not the best thing in the world.
He went all Irish Mafia on him on the way out. He just said, here you go. All right.
Yeah. disappeared into the cornfields like Field of Dreams. I just like the Le'Veon Bell thing is interesting because I wasn't that upset with his decision. You know, he wanted his contract, whatever. He got his money from the Jets. You know, he was willing to sit out the year when a lot of players, you know, wouldn't have been willing to do it. And it seemed like it was the right approach, but he never looked the same. And to your point, maybe it was all the offensive line. Because one of the things that they always say about Le'Veon Bell is, well, it's his vision, it's his patience in the hole. Well, you don't have that type of patience unless you've got an offensive line that's holding their blocks, right? Like that gives you the ability to buy you time to be able to pick where you want to go. And so maybe that just was the element to this. Because remember, one of the conversations he was trying to have is he deserved wide receiver two money because of all the receptions out of the backfield and all that. And then he got to the Jets and he was never the same. It didn't seem like he had the same burst. He got to the Chiefs. He was an afterthought. Like I don't recall a single moment of the Kansas City Chiefs and saying, oh, that's the Le'Veon Bell of old. And you mentioned it. Dude, he's only 29.
Right. Like well, not only. As a running back in the NFL, it's getting on more of the ancient side of things. I know Frank Gore has found the fountain of youth, but you don't see many players do what he's able to do. Here's the interesting comparison, okay? If you compare in his year 4 and 5, for example, in Pittsburgh, to what Derrick Henry has done now in 4 and 5 at Tennessee, they both had about, between those 2 years, about 700-plus touches. That's rushes and receiving.
Yeah.
And in the case of Derrick Henry, there's really been no letdown, right? I mean, he had 1,500 yards rushing, 2,000 this past year.
He got
He's
better.
Led the league the past 2 years. He's been phenomenal, okay? Yeah. Bell was in that category, at least in regards to rushes, even though he didn't have the productivity. But the truth of the matter is, you know, there's that decline now. And that's what I'm curious to see is what happens with Derrick Henry and if he follows a similar path or if he's just different with the way he's prepared himself and the way he can't perform in comparison to Bell, and if it was more of that offensive line, at least that he had in Pittsburgh.
Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, there's a lot of people who might need to eat a little piece of humble pie. We'll tell you who they are next on FSR.